This is from Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost."
A few months ago, I told you about a board game that I enjoyed playing. I know you won't remember, so I'm going to remind you. It was called Rat Race, and it was the game of social climbing. So I don't know whether you remember, but you had three rings on the board. You had the lower class, the middle class, and the upper class. You started in lower class, and the aim was to climb your way socially to the upper class, then collect millions of pounds and win the game. Of course, there were pitfalls along the way in which you could, you know, drop down through the classes once more. I believe it was a game of the 80s. That doesn't surprise you, does it, really? And I used to love that game, I think I told you. I used to enjoy playing it, and I used to win quite a lot. But what I didn't tell you was that I was actually known as the rat race champion of my family. I was never beaten, and have not been beaten since. So if anyone's up for the challenge, you see, Hilary, I saw your face straight away. Any challenge? Not been beaten since. And because of this, I've considered myself to be the ultimate social climber, as you can see from my position in society and my extreme wealth. Clearly, that's worked. But then, you see, during the week, I was reading the story of Zacchaeus, and I began to fear that actually I might have met my match in Zacchaeus. I might have met my social climbing match in the character of the chief tax collector in the story that was just read. And the reason I think I've met my match is mainly because of Zacchaeus' background. We don't know this background when we come to the story. There's not a lot of detail, but we can find it out. And it's extremely important if we're to fully understand the implications of what happens. You see, Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, as you all know, was a Jew. He was born a Jew and he lived in Jewish society. He lived in a Jewish town called Jericho. But unfortunately for him, as the Jews of the time, he lived in a Jewish society that was ruled by the Romans. So although he was one of the more numerous people, he held very little power. He didn't hold any stakes in the power. Which meant that although he was a Jew in Jewish society, in a Jewish town, he was very much at the bottom of the social tree. If he was playing rat race, he would have been in the lower classes. Because you see, the Romans ruled, and they were too strong. And Caesar was far too powerful to let the Jews have a say in how the country should be ruled. So they were kept at the bottom to do the menial jobs. And so the Jews of Zacchaeus' time, all they could do was to try and improve their life, was to stick together and to wait for God to come and rescue them. Because that was their history, after all. I mean, God had brought them out of Egypt those years ago when that great rescue of the Israelites. And so all they had to do, because they were in a similar situation now, was to wait. And he would surely come and rescue them again, but this time from the Romans. And you know, it wasn't like this was a desperate time of waiting either. They weren't like grabbing at straws with little hope and no answer, because the Jews were a people of hope. That was their history as well. And they had plenty of assurances along the way. They had prophecies. They had promises. They had God's word, which said that one day he would come and rescue them. or as the book of Daniel describes that we read earlier, one like the Son of Man would one day come with all authority and glory and sovereign power to rescue his people and bring freedom from the oppressive powers. And so the Jews in the time of Zacchaeus waited. They waited with great faith for the long hoped for Son of Man to appear. They waited for God. Now the thing about Zacchaeus was that clearly at some point along the way, he'd become sick of waiting. Sick of waiting. Clearly at some point along the way, Zacchaeus had got fed up of sitting at the bottom of the social scale and putting his hope in a God who clearly had not appeared for all these years. So he'd made his own plans. Plans which involved getting a job with the Romans, collecting money from his own people, the Jews. Plans which at the end of the day enabled him to climb the social scale, to get away from the bottom of the heap and to get a good job, which would give him a good future. So that ultimately, when we reach our story today in the book of Luke, Zacchaeus is no longer a powerless Jew waiting for the Son of Man to appear. Instead, he's the chief tax collector. He's wealthy, and he works for the state. Now, it's based on this evidence that there's no doubt in my mind that Zacchaeus would have made a great rat race player. He's worked his way up. He's not even fallen down along the way. He has all the elements that are needed, and I would know. Determination, perseverance, strength of character, an uncaring attitude towards others. All needed to win the game and succeed in life. If you like, he was the ultimate social climber of his day. If he'd been around in the 80s, it would have been a great success. Of course, there were some pitfalls for others, because along the way, in his attempt to reach the top, he'd stepped on people to get where he was. He'd stolen money. Most of his wealth was stolen from those who had little or no money. He treated other people as if they were nothing. He betrayed trust. He'd ruined lives. He'd abused the power that he'd been given. He was hated by almost everyone in Jericho. And it was widely known that he had no friends. No one cared for him because he didn't care for them. But at the end of the day, everyone else around him was waiting. They were struggling and they were waiting to be rescued. And here he was, putting in the effort, working hard, making things happen, getting to the top, securing his future. He may have given up on God. He may have turned his back on the promise of the coming of the Son of Man, but you can guarantee that if any one of us had met Zacchaeus or seen him, we would have considered him to be one of life's winners. He'd worked his way from nothing, and now he'd got a lot. He was a winner. And so it's quite ironic that at this point, when Zacchaeus has all but climbed out of his lowly Jewish life, when he's self-sufficient and stable, that the rumours begin to filter through. Rumours about a man called Jesus. Cautious rumours at first, and then with more conviction. Rumours about what Jesus is doing, how he's healing. He's forgiving people. He's casting out demons. He's challenging authorities. He's performing miracles. He's acting and talking and looking like a man of God. Rumours that actually the Son of Man might have finally appeared. And it seems that despite himself, Zacchaeus is drawn to these rumours. Despite his self-sufficiency and his wealth and his lack of interest in God's plan, Zacchaeus is intrigued. Who is this man? Is he really God? If so, what difference would it make to his life? So we're told Zacchaeus runs ahead of the crowd. Those that are gathering to see Jesus. And he climbs a tree, because he is small, to get a good view of this man who others claim is from God. And it's there, sitting up a tree, by the side of the road in Jericho that Zacchaeus finally encounters God for himself. Or if you like, it's there sitting up a tree by the side of the road in Jericho that the social climber, the chief tax collector, the ultimate winner in life, comes face to face with the one he had given up waiting for and turned his back on a long, long time ago. And so when Jesus looks up and sees Zacchaeus in the tree, given the information that we now know, we might expect Zacchaeus to receive a frosty welcome, or at least a steady look of love mixed with judgment of all his sins. And yet, as Zacchaeus looks into the eyes of the one he never believed would arrive, Jesus, the Son of Man, looks back at him, the Jew who had turned his back on God, and he calls out, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Do you know, it makes me think of one of those stories. There's many of them, but this one is about a girl called Maria. Maria lived on the outskirts of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and she lived with her mother, and they lived a modest life. Her father had died when she was young, but they had what they needed. It had been hard, but they had a room with two pallets on the floor to sleep on. They had somewhere to wash. They had food. They had a small cross in the corner. They had a little picture. They had all they needed to live in this little village on the outskirts of Rio de Janeiro. And they had worked hard for it, but they were living. But Maria had plans to get out of this life, this fairly lowly life. She didn't want to marry like her mother had done, although there were many people coming to the door asking for her hand. She didn't want to stay in the village and build up a life and do what all the other girls did. She wanted to go to Rio de Janeiro to make her life, to join the crowds, to have the fun, to work her way up. Of course, as we can probably read already, and as her mother knew, going to Rio de Janeiro would not bring happiness and joy. It would lead her into a life where she would have to do desperate things to make ends meet. And so her mother was frightened that one day she would leave. And one day she did. Her mother woke up and Maria was gone. She'd gone to Rio de Janeiro to make her life. So her mother knew what she had to do. She went after her. She used all the coins she had to get lots of pictures of herself. She printed out picture of herself from those little booths, and she took a whole bag full of photos. And she went throughout Rio de Janeiro and she put a photo up in all the hotels and the bars and the nightclubs, anywhere she thought that Maria might end up. And on the back of the picture, she wrote a little note. When she'd run out of money, she went back home. Weeks, months went by, and the mother had given up hope of Maria coming back. But then one day, Maria was walking down the stairs in an old run-down hotel. She was no longer the girl that she used to be. She was tired, she was worn, and she'd done things she never wanted to do. But as she looked up, she saw a familiar face. She looked closer. It was a little picture of her mother's face. And she went up to it. And she longed for home, but home was too far away. But nevertheless, she picked up the picture. And on the back were written the words, "I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've become. Just come home." And she did. There's many stories like that. There's stories of acceptance and forgiveness. And you know, the story of Zacchaeus is a similar story. Because in effect, Zacchaeus has run away. He's tried to make a better life than the one that God gave him. The only difference is that Zacchaeus' life has worked out to a certain degree. He's not sitting up a tree in rags asking for forgiveness, desperate to come back to God. He may be interested in who Jesus is and intrigued by the Son of Man, but he's not repentant, he's not regretful, he's not full of sorrow for all those actions that he's done. In fact, he's quite happy. He's rich and he's powerful. He's got what he wants. He's turned his back on God. And at that moment, this is where he stands. And yet it is at that moment, when Zacchaeus is still far from God, if you like, that Jesus chooses to accept him. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. You see, the thing is, the promises of long ago were coming true. God had arrived. The Son of Man was here. The rumors were correct. As the book of Daniel had predicted, the Son of Man had come in all authority. But unlike the belief of the Jews of the time, he hadn't come to overthrow governments, to destroy ruling powers, to punish those who had turned their backs on God. He hadn't come to cast judgment and to spotlight sinners. He'd come to forgive. He'd come to forgive people, even to forgive those who had turned their back on God and at that point didn't even care. As it says in verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And so it's no surprise that faced with this kind of authority, Zacchaeus' life is transformed. Everything changes. The man who had turned his back on the Jews finds himself welcoming the God that they had been waiting for. The one who had turned his back on God invites God into his house. The one who had spent most of his time stealing money and treating people badly now starts to give money away and treat people with great respect and love. Everything changes. The man who had become self-sufficient and powerful suddenly decides to become dependent and relatively poor. Because you see, as Zacchaeus sat at the tree at the side of the road that day, mildly interested in the person of Jesus, wondering what the Son of Man would do, he quite unsuspectingly came into contact with the outrageous forgiveness and acceptance of God. You see, in terms of the Jewish faith, Zacchaeus was lost. He was written off. He was dead. There was no way back. He'd given up hope. He'd thrown away his faith. He'd turned his back on the only one who could help him. But on that day, sitting up that tree by the side of the road, it became clear that although Zacchaeus had chosen to turn his back on God, God had not chosen to turn his back on Zacchaeus. Instead, he'd chosen to accept him and forgive him, and reinstate him as one of his own. Do you know, it is a wonderful story, this story. It's a wonderful story. And yet, often, you know, we just treat it as that, don't we? Oh, Zacchaeus, it's a wonderful story. It's a great kid's story. You can do loads with it. You know, that's how we see it. The kids will love it. But we don't fully comprehend that the Son of Man we see here in this passage is our God too. This is what our God is like. Or if you like, this God who outrageously accepts someone who isn't even bothered and doesn't even care is the same God who outrageously accepts us even when we don't care. He's our God too. He's not over the years turned into a God who actually looks on us with slight disapproval at our lives or restricts himself to those who are really searching and trying or holds salvation close to his chest until we've met all his demands. He's not over the years turned into a God who gives up on those who have all but given up on him. We may have turned him into that kind of God, and actually the church in many ways has preached that kind of God over the years. I'm not saying this church, the church. But this isn't who our God is. Instead, he's a God who has both the authority and the deep desire to forgive. He's a God who never gives up. He's a God who never writes off. He's a God who never stops waiting, even if we've stopped waiting for him. He's a God who looks at us right now, wherever we stand, however we feel, whatever we've done, whether we're interested or not, and says, hurry, come on, come down, for I must meet with you today. This is our God. This is our outrageously generous God. And for you and for me and for everyone who walks the earth, this is the good news of the message of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man.